It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The man, so happy that you're here with us.
I'm just, come on, man. We both got elbows now, man.
Yeah, we got yeah. Arms, man. They we finally did it.
How long have we been in here?
A couple years. But it's good, man. I mean, Jonathan, but, looking out for
no,
us.
No, but that's why this is so dope, because they had to make these arms.
Yeah, Jonathan. You know what Jonathan mean? Brought like, that in on, here man. For you on Friday.
Come on, man! Shout out to Jonathan. Shout out to Seth. Those are my guys, man.
Yeah, we live in the comfy life here in the in the Palatial ESPN studios, man. That's the only Young Zell song we getting today.
Well, that was disappointing.
Yeah, it was upsetting, man.
That was disappointing.
I don't. I was telling James and Kyle this a minute ago. You can't have too many of these in a row. Like, they hadn't played bad basketball, and I think you can rationalize a lot when you lose games by, you know, 4 points, 6 points. You know, when you're competitive, you lose games by 2 points. Like, you're in games, and you can argue, well, that the Kings should have won this one. They should have done this. They should have done that. Like, that's all perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. When you start to play poorly and get roughed up, that's tough. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it. You're not doing it against the Celtics or the Oklahoma City Thunder, where you don't want that to happen either. But maybe you rationalize it a little bit. Oh, this team's hitting on all cylinders right now. Denver Nuggets won 5 in a row. Maybe you run into Denver at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. But you lost to a good, scrappy, you know, 500 basketball team in the Los Angeles Clippers, mm-hmm. who, coming into that game against the Sacramento Kings, were playing well. Mm-hmm. They've won a handful of games in a row. San Antonio Spurs, same thing. Mm-hmm. Hadn't quite hit their stride, at least to what people thought they were, but they're about a 500 basketball team. Maybe that's the ceiling for what this team winds up being. Maybe they take off and get a little stronger later in the year, but they're about where you thought they'd be a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you got roughed up by both of them. Mm. And we could do the second night of a back-to-back. We could do Malik Monk injury. We could do whatever. But it just boils down to the fact that this team appears to not be able to hit shots at a consistent rate right now.
That's what it comes down to, man, in my opinion. And I don't know what that entails. Does it mean they're not ready? Does it mean whatever? I'm not willing to say either one of those things or any of that stuff. But like you said, that's just what it is. They can't knock down shots consistently. Last night, they ended up hitting 10 three-pointers on the game. They hit 7 of those in the first half.
Yeah.
In the second half, when things got real nasty, they couldn't buy a bucket from beyond the arc, and they couldn't stop the other team from hitting from beyond the arc, and that's a bad, bad combination. And they got worked in that second half. They got absolutely worked in that second half.
Yep.
And it's not an excuse. You want them to be past all this. Maybe it was a back-to-back travel situation. Maybe it was. You know what I mean? They came out playing well, but in the second half, I don't know if they didn't have the legs, they didn't have the focus or whatever. Whatever it was, it wasn't good enough. And like I said, they got worked in that second half.
Yeah, Wemby, I guess, decided, you know what? I'm going to turn it on.
That's my bad. That's on me.
You know what the great thing about this? No, it usually is. This is you have a running track record of getting guys to kind of go crazy against the Sacramento Kings.
Man, he was shooting like 20-something% from three.
So what old Kenny Caraway do? Well, let's point it out. Let's talk about it. Let's tell everyone how overrated Wemby is.
That's not what I said. What a
bust this guy turned out to be. No, let's do that.
Oh man, this dude come out there. Yeah, like I told my guys in the humidor, he's in there shooting like Craig Hodges, shooting like Dale Ellis. Like what's going on? 6 threes on a night. His first time all year having 30 points.
Yeah, man.
Come on, man.
It's infuriating.
Come on.
Humidor was popping yesterday, by the way.
Shout out to the Humidor. Shout out to my man, Jacob.
You know,
he was looking out for everybody.
Yep.
Big fan of the show. The Humidor is the spots. It's the spot. There's so many spots in the Sky River I still haven't even discovered.
Yeah, I was discovering some of them yesterday. We spent all day there. And shout out to the Chatty House who came to me like, hey, how are we going to settle this bill? Go ahead. Y'all figure that out for your own. Hey, Tasha comes over to me talking about, hey, so what do we do about this bill? Well, you pay it. What do you do with the rest of your bills? I saw the writing on the wall. I'm like, I'm leaving. Ain't nobody turning to me. There's 15 people over there going to turn to old D-Lo and figure out how to pay this bill. Y'all wild for that. Meanwhile, I'm like, nah, make sure everybody gets taken care of. Make sure everybody gets to take care of. Me old Kenny, D-Lo, and Katie just sitting there like, well, I guess we ain't smoking tonight. Well,
hey, I came over there. You want it? No? No, thank you. I'm okay.
Man.
I'm okay. I'm just chilling. I'm just relaxing. They're having conversations with my people. That's it. I'm not. No. No. Don't put nothing on my bill.
But Humidor was popping, and we was trying to drink our way through that second half, because that second half was rough, as you laid out. Kings made 10 threes in the game. They were 3 of 17 in the second half. And, like, I don't know how we continue to discuss this team shooting the ball. Like, they can't shoot. There were a lot of things that they couldn't do yesterday. Like, I think they played well versus the Clippers, and you can boil it down if you wanted to that hit. And I don't know if it was historic. It was certainly historic in my eyes. I never saw them shoot that bad before.
One of one.
Yeah. And Lord knows we hope that it is, but there were points in that game, and we all saw it where, yo, that three falls. Mm-hmm. It's in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's a different game. It never fell. And, like, you can point to shooting, specifically three-point shooting, in that game against the Clippers and go, that's a big reason they lost, because that game just started to disintegrate, and the Clippers hit a couple in the fourth quarter, and the Kings tried to match, and they just couldn't.
Right.
They got to the point where they knew they couldn't catch up like they did against Toronto, driving the ball to the basket, hoping for and-ones, doing different things like that. Not to mention, that's a significantly more tiresome way of playing. That's a significantly more physical way of playing, and they might not have had the legs to pull that off. So, hey, let's try to get these shots up. They never fell.
Yeah.
Last night, the shot's not falling in the second half for sure, but it also felt like they lost a lot in that second half and just kind of got –
looked like they had no gas.
Kind of got run, yeah.
They're out of gas. And I'm not even saying that to
– not to stall them out, but that's what it looked like.
Yeah. And, you know, people get upset sometimes when you talk about second nights of back-to-back. No excuse. Well, all right. Yeah, they're not robots. Like, sometimes you can get past that, and you can find, you know, the conditioning and the energy to work past that. Mentally, you can find whatever you need to work past that. That happens. Sometimes it doesn't happen like that. Sometimes you can be as focused as you possibly can be, and it's not good enough. The legs just aren't responding. The shot isn't responding. So when we say that, like, it's not, oh, everything's okay, and, you know, don't talk about the bad things because the second night of a back-to-back. But that's could be a real reason why they looked like they were out of gas last night. I don't look at that as an excuse. We're evaluating some of the reasons that maybe that happened last night, and that might be one of them.
It's not always an excuse for an excuse's sake. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's actually what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You get frustrated, and I think sometimes we watch the Kings so closely, and we watch other teams kind of on the side, that we feel like, well, why doesn't this happen to this team? Why doesn't it happen to that team? Well, it does.
Yeah.
We're probably just not watching as closely,
right,
or we can't pin it as pointedly, or we tune in. You know, we tune into the Warriors and the Mavericks tonight, and we see maybe the Warriors play a certain way. You know, the Drew Downs and the Uncle Loons, those guys would be in the Chatty House telling us what's going on with that team. But because we're watching them a little bit differently, mm-hmm, than we're watching the Sacramento Kings, we don't recognize it the same way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you could call it an excuse if you want to. Sometimes it's just the reality of what happens in the association. The tough part for me, at least, is you can't have too many of these in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And you're at 2 of your last 3 now. It's great that you got that Phoenix game. That was a hell of a win for them. Mm-hmm. But you've bookended that with your two worst games of the season. Mm-hmm. And now you're going into another game against Phoenix at home, which a loss puts you below 500 at home. That's problematic. Mm-hmm. Because you all said, we got to be better at home. These are all just words. You guys are all using words. Right. But we all know that that's the thing. You've got to be better at home. And now you've got a team who's been watching film. They're probably a little frustrated. They know they've got to go without Kevin Durant here for the next couple of weeks. And now you're not that Phoenix wouldn't have been motivated had they come in with a win. But we all know when you play a team twice in short order, sometimes the team that took the L comes in with a little bit of extra motivation because that first film session wasn't that far away. Mm-hmm. The second one was very recent. You're a little bit more locked in with that opponent.
Yeah. Phoenix at the Golden One Center tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Second night of a back to back
for Phoenix. Okay,
they're in Utah tonight.
Uh huh.
So they travel. It's the same thing, and we look at it in its totality.
Well, tired legs on three. One, two, three. Like whatever.
We look at it in its totality, right? And you, once again, I'm not stalling them out. But I'm saying you don't want them to always have the excuse or use the excuse or look for the excuse of second night of a back-to-back, like, oh, we just had tired legs. Well, this is, if my memory serves me right, this is the second game in a back-to-back. This is the first time they haven't shown up or they looked that way against Toronto. Excuse me, the first one was against Utah. They handled business, beat the hell out of Utah in that second game. The next one was Toronto, where they lost in Toronto, but they fought like hell. They gave everything to try to win that game, had an opportunity to do it. This is the third one. They look like they were out of gas. To your point, you don't want this to be the norm. You can accept this happening every now and then in those situations, but you want what we saw at the very least against Toronto, where you're fighting and you're giving yourself a chance to be the norm, not what we saw last night. And we'll have opportunities in a couple days to see how they respond again to a back-to-back.
So right.
When we come back, I got a question for you. Sorry it's not on the run. I literally just thought about this as I had to run away from my Starbucks. But
I'd order Starbucks for us, but we all know I'd have it delivered to my house. So
that was a classic moment. I got a question for you, though. Well, it got here.
Well, thank you, Kyle. It did.
An either-or situation.
Okay.
And I want to know what you think. I want to know what the people in Sacramento think. I want to know what the Chatty House thinks. I got an either-or situation for you guys.
Okay. Well, that'll be fun. We're just getting started. We're really happy that you're here with us. Big thank you to everybody who pulled up to Sky River Casino yesterday from beginning to end, 10 a.m. to, God, 8 p.m.
Yeah. There were some people there the whole time.
There really were. And shout out to Katrina because she was one of them. Shout out to He Who Shall Be Not Be Named so he doesn't get in any trouble. He still pulled up on us and hung out with us, man. Didn't get to spend as much time with him as I would have liked. But I think from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., that was our biggest crowd at a Sky River Casino event.
Yeah.
We know the sound wasn't perfect, but we're working on that. And the response to the December 6th announcement was super exciting, to be able to do this show, Flashback Friday, and the Wake Up Call Live for the first time is really, really exciting. So make your plans to be with us. December 6th, we'll come back. Kenny's either-or situation. There's another situation, not just the shooting that we got to talk about with the Sacramento Kings, but obviously there's a very important component to that second unit mentioning missing, and we've got to talk about it when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
I'm looking at Warren asking, we're going to have some couples dancing on December 6th. What does that even mean?
Like what? It's like couple skate. You know what I mean? You get out there.
Well, if you dance into Flashback Friday, like who you...
couple.
Well, yeah.
That's, either your significant other or you ask somebody. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well yeah. Man, I'm just so – I mean, if Warren, you can dance with whoever you want to. You ask somebody who's just hanging out. You can ask Drew down to dance with you. It don't matter. David Jackson says, nope, solo dancing only. That is December 6th at Sky River Casino, 32 Brew Street, the mega show we announced yesterday. D-Lo and Casey live from 12 to 4. For the very first time, Flashback Friday live. We'll be doing our KSFM show live from Sky River Casino from 4 to 7. And then the wake-up call takes over with Are You Smarter Than Kevin out there on that back patio. Something that I neglected to mention on stage yesterday. There's a game that night. And interestingly enough, it's a 5 o'clock game against the San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio. So if you couldn't get enough last night.
Well, let me tell you how great Victor Wembanyama is. I'm going to start that right now.
Oh,
okay.
Well,
let me tell you how great he is right
well,
now.
Well, that's the only way that the Sacramento Kings can get on NBA today is when.
True story.
When Victor Wembanyama lights them up.
And he did light him up last night. He was really good last night.
Nah, he was.
Really good.
And I think that's what more people expected to see from him. Like every game this year, that's what they thought they'd get from him. So maybe the Sacramento Kings unleashed a monster yesterday in the.
Well, thank you. You're welcome, NBA.
Yeah. Well, clearly they're very happy. You want to talk about some of these other issues, or do you want to do to either?
Well, I want to ask because they might go into each other, right? And well, we could talk. They might play into the same conversation.
Got it. Okay.
I had a thought, and the Kings are disastrous from beyond the arc.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely anemic from beyond the arc right now. They are the exact opposite from the free throw line. If I gave you one that you could have.
Oh, come on, man.
Do you want the three-pointer back, or do you want them to be or you want the free throws? They're last in either one of them, in the one that you say you don't want.
Come on, bro.
I think I want the three-point shot. As frustrating as the free throws can be, you still were able to win games with being a bad free throw shooting team. I don't know how much longer they can win games being this bad of a three-point shooting team.
Doesn't math say you have to pick the three?
I guess so, yeah. But not even saying you'd be the best. Well, sure, you could say you'd be the best. But just.
Well, if you're saying you're going to be the best, then yeah, give me that.
Yeah.
Give me that. Because that in my head, that math checks out.
Did we sell our souls, our three-point souls, for a better free throw shooting team?
The elusive basketball god said, look, jackasses, you can't have everything. I gave you a beam, and I gave you free throws, and you guys are still here bitching.
Kyle brings up a good stat and a good number. I know Will Z had this number as well. He told it to me while we were watching the game, and he said going into the game last night, I don't know if 162 is the exact number he had, but it was like something like that, being outscored by 162 points comparing teams, you know, three-point shooting to theirs. That is tough to make up. And that was before last night. Last night, you probably added another 30 onto that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. I'm. You asked me yesterday if I was concerned. I am, but I'm also optimistic in that I think they'll at least get to bad, get away from awful and get to bad. But when is it going
to
start happening?
Why do we always have to do that? We did that. Like, why? No, seriously.
No,
why can't we have nice things? Like, if it's not two dribbles, it's hey, just be an average defensive team. Like, why can't it be something good?
You're right, though. You're right.
This is not a bad basketball team, man. This team, I hate the way that they looked yesterday. I hate the way that they looked Friday. But my opinion from them has not changed. This is not a bad basketball team.
I agree.
Why they're playing what feels like bad basketball, I'm not sure. but they're not a bad basketball team. And I refuse to cover them like they are. Now, there's going to be a point where my mind is just going to change. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, look, I can't keep fighting against what I'm seeing.
Some would say your mind's telling you no. Your mind's telling you no, I don't want to cover them as a bad basketball team. But my eyes are telling me.
Man. Now you're just celebrating it. That's what you're doing. You're just celebrating what's happening. This dude right here, juvenile.
But I agree with
you. You're not wrong.
And I agree with you. I don't think they're a bad team. And I don't even think we're at the point where we got to think about
covering. No, I don't think
them.
So either.
I don't think so either. Because we were talking yesterday. I was talking to some of the guys during the game. And I was like, they're like, man, it's just inconsistent. It's just inconsistent. And I understand the sentiment, but going into last night, and even if you include last night, they won 6 of their last 9 games. Going into last night, they won 6 of their last 8 games. That's not, I wouldn't consider that inconsistent. Right? Like,
well, yes, you're right. But the season's like 11 games long.
True, but. True, but if you
we're just shaving off the first 2 losses to make it look a little better.
But even
which
even
I get
then,
it.
Even in 10 games, they go 6-4. If they do that the entire year, that's I don't know the math, but that's probably like you're 10-12 games over 500. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know, dude. We don't do math on this show, and why you insist on us trying to is really beyond me.
But I think last night was just really bad. Like last night was very disappointing.
Yeah, that's a great word for it.
And I think
it was disappointing.
It hit us all because it hit me too a little more than just a normal loss. That was we had expectations for that game and for this team, and they didn't reach them last night, and that was tough to watch. That was tough to watch, especially when you didn't even know the guys that were hitting threes. Who was the lefty? Where did he come from? Oh man!
Just decided to show up. Show
just
up and drink. Hit buckets.
Like the ball did barely even touch the net on his shots. Just whoop,
let's whoop. See. 1, 2. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The Spurs had 6 guys hit more than 1 3-pointer. The Kings had 2, and it was De'Aaron who was 2 for 5, and Trey Lyles who was 2 for 6. Mm. Doug McDermott got his shots up again.
He did.
Salute. That's what he's out there
That's
for.
What he's supposed to do.
They're just not falling for him.
And Kevin Huerter had a bad shooting night for the first
time
all year.
Yeah, he did.
It feels like maybe the opening night, but other than that.
Yeah, I don't even know that he took this many shots opening night. Yeah. I feel like he was something like a little more subtle, like 1 for 4. Let me take a quick peek. I have it here. Yeah, he was. He was 1 for 4 and 0 for 3. Last night, he was 1 for 7 and 0 for 5. Mm-hmm. Keon, which is tough because more is going to be asked of Keon. He was 1 of 6 and 1 of 5.
Yeah, and he's got he's got a hit with Malik out.
Well, and that transitions us into the other problem that the Kings are having right now, mm-hmm. and it's not just the 3-point shot. It is now the absence of Malik Monk, and we talked about this extensively on the show yesterday about how someone's got to step up. Mm. Like, I think there's a big difference between stepping in and stepping up. You mm-hmm. can't be Malik. Mm-hmm. There isn't a player on this roster who can do what Malik Monk does for this team. But in the absence of Malik, you can find some assists here. You can make a couple of plays here. You can hit. You could do a little bit here and a little bit there. And a couple of guys are going to have to do that. It's by committee here. They went in the opposite direction yesterday. Not only you got less than what you normally get from a Kevin Huerter or the bizarre game from Keegan Murray. Those guys combined for a 3 of 14. That's your starting. Those are 2 starters right there. Yeah. Combining for 3 of 14 and 1 of 10 from 3 and a total of 7 points.
Yeah, it's just not gonna.
It's not gonna work.
It's not gonna get it done.
And then your other guys have done what they've done all year, dropping 20.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So You know, the thing, and I think one of the things that has people a little worried about the things that went wrong for them last night is it's the things that have gone wrong for them the majority of the year. Three-point shooting, bench scoring, you know what I mean? Those things, the defending the three. I don't know where their numbers are at right now, defending the three. It seems like it's something that we weren't talking about for a little while, and then last night they just went crazy, and it's a talking point again. So I don't know where they rank as far as defending the three, but that's something that we're familiar with, and those three things reared their ugly head last night, and it just – everything kind of hit us tenfold last – but at least me. I can't speak for anybody else, but last night I was like, that was bad. I was watching it with the homies at Sky River, and they get beat up like that. And I'm like, So it just felt bad watching that game last night and watching them get worked the way they did.
Yeah, there is something to building an entire, like, promotion and show around the game and the casino and come watch with us, and then they do that. Mm-hmm. Like, we couldn't get the Phoenix game, huh? Where everyone, you know, the bar would have been crowing crazy. Couldn't get that. Couldn't get anything.
Yeah, we got happy. We did a Mark Jones in there. We said, all right, it's at 10.
We did. And the Kings have cut the lead to 10.
Mark Jones. Terrific.
That's terrific. They've cut the lead to 10. No, this doesn't suck at all. This does not suck at all.
Oh, man, that was tough. That was tough.
Yeah, Kings, they gave up 38 points in the second quarter, too. You talked a lot about what they did in the second half. All of it is 100% accurate, but it got set in motion with that second quarter, and it was capped off by Chris Paul. Chris Paul closing out the half the way that he did, and it's like, all right, it does. In the moment, it's like, all right, that sucks. Mm-hmm. That's not a big deal. It sucks. It felt like it was the starting pistol. He hit that shot. They go to halftime. They come, and then it doesn't feel like the Kings come back.
Yeah.
As silly as that sounds, what was it? 5 points?
I think
it's
so.
Like a 5-point deficit at half. And Chris Paul hits that shot to make it five, and then they come out dead.
They took off the Kings, and this is where I wonder, you know, about the legs and all this other stuff. Because in the first half, I thought the Kings played well. They even got to the point mid second quarter, maybe early second quarter. It looked like they were about to open it up, got up by 9 and forced the timeout to be called, all this other stuff. And then they were just lifeless after that. And Chris Paul set everything off, it felt like, with that shot at the half. And then they really, really just stopped defending the three, it felt like. I think they do too much with the help. Like, they're leaving wide open guys. I'd like to see them do a better job of keeping the ball in front of them. I know it's easier said than done in the NBA with these type of athletes and ball players. But it feels like they overhelp and leave these guys wide open for threes and then have so far to go to close out on the three.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to me, it was very evident last night, watching that game last night. It's like, why are we overhelping? Or why are you all the way down in the paint trying to on like a dig, not even like a help the helper situation, like trying to dig, and then you got to go all the way out to, you know, the elbow extended to the bend to cover the three. You're not gonna make it. It's a wide open shot. So yeah, that was the worst I can remember them defending the three this year.
Feels like the list of problems is getting kind of long. Hitting the three, defending the three, bench scoring. I mean, the fact that, you know, I this is just all part of being a fan. We had these conversations last night at the Humidor, 32 Brew Street, all over Sky River Casino. We had conversations, you know, listening to Deuce and Moe this morning, you know, on the pod that they do post game. We're already talking about, like, the trade deadline. You know what I mean? Like, we're already talking, well, what did the Kings have to add? What do they got to do? What helps the Kings? It's like, man, it's November. It was Veterans Day yesterday. Like, that's where we are? Like, already? Man, that's a little concerning.
I think I'm not there with everybody else. I'm not I'm not concerned about this team. Not saying you are or anything like that. I'm not concerned about this team. Last night was just bad. That was just a bad, bad experience for Kings fans.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I think they're fine. I think they got some things that they gotta tweak. Peyton in the chatty house says they overhelp and they can't contest threes because they don't have size. Same story every game this year. I completely disagree. I've said for a number of different times, and maybe this is just a philosophy thing, but the lack of size has nothing to do with overhelping. Those guys on the perimeter got to stay in front of their man. Stay in front of them. They're helping because somebody's blowing by either on a kick out or a close out, and they're blowing by, and then they got a guy that's helping. Sometimes the help isn't even really necessary. Like, they're digging down for no reason. I don't think it has anything to do with their lack of size. I think the guys on the perimeter have to do a better job one-on-one keeping somebody in front of them more times than not. And if the guy's in front of him and he's staying in front of him, there's no need to help because the guy is staying in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they got to do a better job of that. But I also think they've done a good job of that. We're not far removed from – less than 48 hours removed from praising their defense in the fourth quarter and overtime against Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like, they've played well on the defensive end. Less than a week ago, fourth quarter against Toronto, talking about they just completely shut their water off and played good defense.
Yep.
They've done that a lot of the times this year. Last night, they didn't do it at all. Like, last night was all the issues that they do have or the question marks that they do have all coming together at one time and just – being on full display. And I think that's more so what happened as opposed to they've got a lot of glaring holes. I don't think that about this team. They got problems.
They don't have a lot of glaring holes roster wise.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Think so. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Performance wise, not shooting well, that's a big issue. That's something that they've struggled with.
I think it's still early. It's relatively early. I mean, we're 11 games into this. This is an 82 game season. It is early. But there becomes a certain point where I have to believe what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a 11 game sample size. But if I was in a debate class, I'd say it's a 16 game sample size, because a lot of these flaws that we're seeing, and this is why I think we're sometimes too quick to minimize what the preseason is.
Mm-hmm.
I've focused a couple of times on Domantas Sabonis and how well I thought he played, not just how well I thought he played in the preseason, but how aggressive he played.
Mm-hmm.
That's carried over. 3-point defense, missed threes, that happened in the preseason. So when you're willing to do that and you're willing to and again, you can minimize it as much as you want to. But to me, your argument loses some ground when those issues continue into the regular season.
Yep.
And if I were to if this was a debate class and I was trying to make a point about the struggles of the Sacramento Kings, I would tell my opponent, this isn't an 11 game sample size, dog. This is 16 because those 5 games in the preseason, this happened. And, I mean, again, at some point, I'm going to believe what I see. I just can't believe that they're all this bad. They are all simultaneously this bad. It's not like, hey, man, Keegan's shooting the lights out. Maybe you got to give him the ball every time. Or, hey, yo, Kevin's on point. Or De'Aaron. Or whoever. It's like, no, they're all ass. Just simultaneously, you talk about the ball. Doug Christie used the line about the ball has energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this I don't know, every ball they play with got bad mojo because no one can snap them out of it. I told you how, God, you talk about how great Kevin Huerter was against Phoenix. They missed their first couple of threes, and I know every Kings fan is thinking, like, because they were thinking what I was thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is just carrying over into the next day. Kevin, 3. Okay. Well, I got one. As Katie would say, sometimes you just got to get the first one to fall. Kevin, 2nd 3. And then it becomes, all right, they're fine. Well, maybe they weren't, but Kevin was. And, like, so you had the thing where it's like, okay, Kevin, like, okay, you got a guy who's shooting well right now. see how long you can stick with that. And it just didn't. That appears to have been an anomaly right now in a season where multiple guys shoot poorly and no one can get on track, at least from three.
Yeah, I'm looking up because I'm trying to figure this out. The worst 3-point shooting percentage in the history of the
NBA. Oh, fun. Mm-hmm.
It's the Charlotte Bobcats, the 11-12 Charlotte Bobcats, who were 29.5%. The Sacramento Kings right now are at 30.1%.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see, if I could, if like what the other ones are. That might take a little time, but I don't expect them to be the worst 3-point shooting team in the history of the NBA. Just don't. I don't expect them to be. That doesn't mean.
Boy, our expectations for the season have shortchanged. Don't expect them to be the worst in history. We went from the floor is 52 to maybe they just won't be the worst shooting team in history. I don't know.
I don't expect that. So. Yeah, I expect they could still be bad. You know what I mean? But I expect them to be, you know, a lot better than where they are right now. And that's where I have a level of optimism and they'll kick through. I do believe that sometimes these things are a little contagious. You know what I mean? And it does mess with these guys' minds sometimes. And Keegan looks like he's. When I see Keegan just airball a shot, you know, from the corner, it's probably messing with him a little bit, the 3-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox, maybe the same thing. Kevin Huerter seems to be shooting with relative confidence. I don't think he's had much of an issue. But, you know, Malik Monk, when he was playing, you know, it was we're on this radio show. In the chatty house, mm-hmm. on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
we are not breaking news and talking about something these guys aren't aware of. They know they're shooting terribly from beyond the arc. Mm-hmm. So what happens sometimes when you're struggling, shooting from anywhere, free throw line, 3-point line, mm-hmm. field goal, you start to press a little bit.
Mm.
I think they're pressing a little bit from beyond the arc. They're feeling a little bit of that pressure. And all it takes is a game or two to get out of that. But – we're still kind of waiting. We're waiting for that 17 three-pointers made type game to kind of get them to feel better about themselves.
You know where else you can start to press? It's in Prize Picks. When you have a couple of lineups not go your way, you might get a little greedy in your next lineup. And sometimes, like it did for me, it pays off.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I thought you were going the other way. Let's go.
Sometimes you got to be aggressive. I'm looking at some of the numbers for today, man. Joel Embiid makes his return against the New York Knicks tonight.
Ooh.
38.5 for points, rebounds, and assist. And I do not know how I feel about that one, but it is on the board right now. I think that's a less.
I don't want to put too much on Joel in his first game.
A popular one right now is Kyle Lowry at 4.5 points in that game. But you have the opportunity to pick your lineup out here. They've got some more Joel Embiid stat lines for his game. They got Paul George at 18.5. If you want to get in on that, of course, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors against the Dallas Mavericks tonight. They have Steph at 6 assists. You can go more or less than that. But get greedy tonight with Prize Picks, baby. Kings might be losing. No need for you to lose, too.
Here's the good thing about Prize Picks, and one of the good things about Prize Picks that I love. We talk NBA. You know, when the Kings play, we talk that beam money. You know what I mean? We do all that. But, hey, college basketball's still going on. College basketball, if you're not feeling anything in the NBA, go to the college basketball section. See how you feel about that. They got college football games tonight. If you're not feeling basketball in general, go see what's going on over there. There are all these different sports that you can set your lineup to and have an opportunity to win. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what you do when you do that, though. You enter the promo code KIFM, and that gets you $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. It doesn't matter if you win or not. Just put in that promo code KIFM, and you have your $50 guaranteed on your first $5 lineup.
That's a good line to remind everybody. It doesn't matter if you win or lose with this lineup. Mm-hmm. You get $50 instantly. As Casey said, download the Prize Picks app right now and use the promo code KIFM. Prize Picks, run your game. We'll come back with more. It's Steelo and KC. We'll talk more about the Sacramento Kings. I think we should talk a little bit more about the San Francisco 49ers as well. Steelo and KC. Oh, and there was a game last night.
There was a game. Shout out to my man, Jesse. You know the vibes, man. Let's go. I needed that. Also, with Prize Picks, you must be present in certain states. Visit PrizePicks.com.
That's a good call right there. Yeah. Steelo and KC here on ESPN 1320. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.